I was so confused a couple of weeks ago when we gave away tickets to see them tonight, 7 o'clock at the Andiamo Showroom. And we've got one of the founding members, and he was in the group along with the lead singer Johnny Maestro of the Brooklyn Bridge. Johnny passed away 8 years or so ago, but Jimmy Rosica, good to have you on the air because I'm very confused. First of all, that song I picked was taken from the Ed Sullivan Show, and obviously the group still had to get a big boost from that. Very important for you all to appear on that show.
Absolutely, Warren. That was the... Well, I'd have to say the pinnacle, the highlight of my career. And probably all of the guys in the group who performed on that show would have to agree. Very exciting. You know, the Ed Sullivan Show, we had you filmed twice in the afternoon and then once in the evening. And at that time, yeah, that was the premier variety show. We were on with Stevie Wonder, I remember. I believe Paul Lynn, the comedian. And just very, very exciting. When Ed Sullivan introduced us, you know, hearts were beating at very high rates.
I don't think you changed, I want to say, a note from the Jimmy Webb Worst That Could Happen that he sang.
Well, Jimmy didn't sing it.
No, I know that. But
I mean, we certainly didn't change the melody. We kind of reharmonized it. We took that off of a Fifth Dimension album called The Magic Garden. And, you know, Johnny loved the song. A couple of us, just totally by coincidence, all had that album. The Fifth Dimension, for whatever reason, they didn't really... treat it the way they treated all the other songs on the album. I mean, every other song on that album was just beautiful in terms of their harmony. They were, you know, kind of in a mama's and papa's vein. But for whatever reason, the worst that could happen was, you know, naked. Jimmy Webb told us that Johnny Rivers, who I think was the executive producer, didn't feel it was a hit record, or maybe they... with budgetary reasons, don't know, but we were fortunate enough to have a hit record. My personal feeling as to why we had the hit and they didn't is because on the phrase, a woman like you needs a house and a home, baby, if he, on the word if, what was it, Billy Davis, I'm trying to think, lead singer for the Fifth Dimension, he took that note in falsetto, which kind of made the line a little anticlimactic. A woman like you needs a house and a home, baby. And then he flipped into falsetto. Whereas when we were recording it, a gentleman named Artie Ripp came into the studio. And Artie, at that time, I believe he was managing 11 Spoonful. He had Billy Joel under contract when Billy was, you know, a youngster. And Artie had asked Johnny if he thought he could take that note in natural voice. Now, that would be a high C, which is, you know, that's a Pavarotti note. And John said, well, let's give it a shot. He got in the booth, and, you know, first time around, he nailed it. So now you have the line of, woman, like, you needs a house and a home, baby. You know, full voice if. And it had a great emotional impact.
Which is kind of interesting. Let me grab something here and improve your point exactly what you're talking about.
A woman like you needs a house and a home, baby. If you want to bother me, maybe it's the best thing. Maybe it's the best thing for you. But it's the
So they get the hit, and the other guys don't. Oh, and Johnny Maestro, the lead singer for you guys, also the lead singer, and this is where I've been confused for a couple of weeks, lead singer of a group called The Crests. They had hits like Step by Step, The Angel Listening In, and this one.
16 candles make a
interestingly, the Crest would become, what, back in the 1960s, the first interracial group of the recording industry. I think what was Luther Vandross's older sister sang with Johnny and the Crest, didn't he?
Right. Patricia Vandross was. Johnny used to talk about how Luther Vandross would kind of interrupt the rehearsals because he was a little kid then. But, yeah, that's a true story. The only thing... unfortunately for Patricia, was that when they recorded 16 Candles, now they were going to start going on the road, and her mother was not going to have it. You know, she wasn't going to let her daughter travel with an all-male group. So she left the group at that time. So she is not on the record, 16 Candles, if I'm not mistaken.
And then, so we've got Johnny Maestro, we've got the Crests, and we've also got Dion... from the Belmonts era. You're working with them too, so how do you all come together and become a group?
Well, Dion left the Belmonts around 1960-1961, and he wanted a vocal group, you know, to back him up, to kind of keep the sound. The records just said Dion. The background group was never really acknowledged. But a group called the Del Satins, which was a New York-based group, they had a very good reputation.
Well, but wait a second. I'm still getting confused. While Johnny was doing great, you and your friends are playing, what, in garages? You didn't even have a name, but didn't you need something to call yourselves when your group entered this Battle of the Bands competition?
When we did our set and came off stage, I was approached by a woman who said that she represented Betty Sperber Management. They managed Johnny Maestro, and she wanted to know who represented the Rhythm Method. That's what we had. We ended up calling ourselves the Rhythm Method, because when we got to the Cloud Nine, we had no name, and the Musicians Union was outside the door, and you had to register. So our guitarist at that time, Richie Masiosi, came up with the name the Rhythm Method. Which was very clever. You're talking about a group of all Catholic boys and what have you. So the name, we loved it. And, you know, 2 hours later, I was meeting Johnny Maestro's manager. The next day, we went into Manhattan, and that's when I formally met Johnny. And we decided to merge our seven-piece garage band with Johnny's four-piece vocal group. And upon shaking hands, there were now 11 in this band, and our manager, Betty Sperber, got on the phone and called Dave Zahn, the president of Banner Talent, told her that Johnny Maestro was putting together a new 11-piece group, and Dave said, 11 pieces trying to sell out will be like trying to sell the Brooklyn Bridge. And she said, I love it, and hung up the phone, and that's how we got our name. And... the new group was born.
As they say, out of time now, but very quickly, tell me about, as you perform around the country, and now at the Andiamo showroom over there in Warren, what kind of crowds do you get? The baby boom generation?
Well, primarily baby boom generation. When we do outdoor concerts, naturally a lot of them will bring family, so we'll be performing to a younger generation. But yeah, I'd have to say our demographic is 60 to 80 year old people, which sounds very strange, 80 year old people, but you know, I don't know how old you are, but I just celebrated my 71st birthday last two Sundays ago. So, you know, we're getting on there. As a matter of fact, today is our lead singer, Joe Esposito's birthday, and it's a milestone birthday for him. And on Monday, Johnny Maestro would have been 79 years old. So, interesting coincidence.
Yeah, well, enjoy your brief stay. You've been around. You've been at Andiamo before, Jimmy Rosica. But enjoy your brief stay here. And all the fans, that's where they're headed, to see you guys singing.
Well, come on down.
7 o'clock tonight. Call Ticketmaster or Andiamo Showroom Rock'n'Roll.com. Undoubtedly, this has to be incorporated into their songs tonight.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart, 'cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part.
They're not writing songs like this anymore. Everyone join in here.
Why must I be a teenager in love?